Okay, trash heads, get ready. It's another great edition of Turnbuckle Trash. On this edition of The Trash, we're going to go international. We're going to be speaking with that wrestling guy on Instagram. He's Sam from Australia. He'll join us in just a little bit. Zane O'Mac, Zane Peterson, comes in to join in on that interview. Then I'll be talking to Chris Evans on Chris on the Mat, and we'll be playing the WWE Name Change Game, a chance for you to win some valuable prizes from some of our sponsors. That's coming up all in this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Turnbuckle Trash, and we are going international because we have on Skype with us right now, it is Sam Story, that wrestling guy on Instagram. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Oh, dude. We're so good. So good.
I forgot to introduce my co-host, Zane O'Mac. We're going to be playing the WWE name game.
Okay, so we're going to dive right into it. Sam, I got to tell you right now, you are the funniest bastard I have ever heard on wrestling in my life. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, how did you start doing these videos? And just give us the rundown real quick.
The rundown. All right, no problem. Well, look, obviously lifelong wrestling fan. Being on the other side of the world, we watch it at very unique times. So, yeah, look, I started watching when I was 10, but, yeah, we usually have to, you know, Raw and SmackDown are live on at midday the next day. So it's Tuesday night Raw for me and, Wednesday night SmackDown. So it's sometimes it's hard being an Australian fan of the WWE, but look, it's just been in my blood, mate, for, I don't know, yeah, ever since I was a little kid, and I've always, it's probably the thing I know the most about in this world. So I was just sitting there one day, I'm like, look, you've made stupid videos for friends and stuff like that all your life, so why not give it a crack, as we say down here, give it a crack on Instagram. And look, it's just come all really organically, mate. I haven't had too much. If you go onto my page, it actually says it's just original, random, dumb stuff. And that's what it is. Like I just throw out what I think's funny. And the reason that the car videos started was because I'm busy, you know. I'm like, oh, well, I've got to get some content out. So I'll review wrestling in a bit different way, and I'll give my two cents in a bit different way, other than just being boring and monotone. You know, like, I mean, some wrestling, not you guys are fantastic, obviously. Some podcasts, you know, have good, just monotone, boring shit. So I'm like, oops, I just dropped a curse word.
It's okay, sorry, dude. Guys.
God damn, it only took like 5 minutes. Wow. Look, I'm so used to when I get talking about wrestling, the swearing just comes out. So fudge this and fudge that. It just comes out all the time. But yeah, I thought I'd put it in my car, and I get pretty annoyed in the car generally due to, you know, a touch of road rage. So I thought, I'm fired up. I'll talk about wrestling. And look, the stuff just comes out. I turn the camera on and it just comes off the cuff. It's not like I do 20 takes and that's it. It's just I'll pick a topic from the night before that I've watched and I'll just let loose on it. So I'm going to do one today. About Becky Lynch, which might not be popular, but you can wait for that one. But, you know, it just randomly comes out, and some people, it's been resonated. It might be the accent, it might be the anger, it might be the swearing, as I just dropped before. It might be it might be a combination of things, but for some reason, yeah, people, yeah, enjoy them, as and you do, which is you know, I really appreciate that. So the accent helps, I suppose, because you think we're like this, you know, these foreign, random people that have weird, we have a weird blend of, like, English, American, South African, all just kind of blended into one, and it's just, here you go, here's an accent. So that helps, the accent helps.
So I noticed on your Instagram, you have quite a following. You have over 3,000 followers from around the world.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing the Instagram and stuff for?
Yeah, look, I've only been doing it for 15 months. I wish
really?
I hadn't started. Yeah. And I haven't been – I'm not a follower chaser, some people are. So people have just naturally kind of found me somehow. People from all over the world, which is really fantastic. So I've – yeah, it's just been something that I just started one day and said, look, just try and post every day, see what happens, whatever you think's funny. And then people have resonated with that, and it's been really fun, and people have reached out, like yourself, and yeah, from all over the world. You get some, you know, some random fans from, like, you know, India and places like that. So it's been fun. So,
you know, Sam, we're not adverse to people with a little bit of a different type of speech pattern. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, myself, and we have a guy that does the podcast with us, Chris Evans, and boy, he talks Southern, you know.
Yeah,
he's got a big old Southern accent on him, good old Chris. So
I think all Australians sound the same, but I think we don't really have, like, Southerners, and people maybe are more rough. So maybe you think you've, I don't know, you got a Crocodile Dundee, but you kind of, like, twanging out a little bit. And
that's right.
It's like, you know what I mean? You're twanging out. Some people kind of actually genuinely talk like that, and you can, you know, it's very hard to understand them, especially when you go bush out in the country. But I think, yeah, When I yell and get angry, I think my accent kind of comes out a bit more Aussie like that. I think someone said that I sound like an Outback Steakhouse commercial.
You do.
Funny. That's so awesome.
Oh, I love a bloomin' onion.
Yeah, yeah. See, I've never eaten there. I've heard about what it is, and I've seen the commercials, and it's like, yeah, get your Aussie barbecue steak or whatever. It's like, they ham it up a bit, but I'd... Yeah, that's fine. If you want to think of me as an Outback Steakhouse commercial, that's cool. Like, whatever.
So back to professional wrestling. So myself, I go back to the Attitude Era, the WCW, you know, the whole Monday Night Wars thing. Dave's a big Memphis guy. Dave's been in wrestling, following wrestling for, oh, hell, Dave, what, since 1900?
Since about 1894.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time.
So tell us what is one of your first memories of professional wrestling, and why did you decide one day that, hey, I think I'll be a wrestling fan?
Yeah, look, I think we're old enough to remember VHSs. Some people I talk to are like, what the hell? See, I didn't say the F word then. What the hell is VHS? But, yeah, because I remember originally down here, like, Raw was – I think it was even – I know it was taped back in the day, Monday Night Raw, but we even got it later than that. So we were 2 weeks behind what was aired in America. And my mates used to get around and just swap the tapes. So I'd have it on a Tuesday night, and I'd have it on a Wednesday night. And we'd swap the Attitude Era, which was, you know, interesting in itself. I actually do a show, like, Way Back Wrestling, when I go back and look at some of the older stuff and comment on that in a stupid voice. And yeah, it's interesting coming back and look at what I grew up with, and actually my parents letting me actually watch that. But I think the one that sticks out, and it's a pretty awesome match. I think I went to the video shop, Blockbuster, and then, yeah, I got WrestleMania with Bret and Shawn in the Iron Man match. And that one, obviously, I know it's unpopular, I'm not a big Bret guy. Never have been. I think he's quite boring. He's great in the ring, but I think his promos are a bit bleh. But I'm a massive Shawn guy, so I really got fascinated with that match. And, you know, when Shawn came down, ziplining down from the top to the bottom, you know, that kind of hooked me there. And then that was kind of the first thing that I remember sitting down and watching that whole match and going, oh, yeah, this is pretty... pretty bloody cool. And yeah, look, my mates dropped off and I just kept watching. So, you know, we all started as a group of maybe six of us, and none of them watched it anymore, and I still do. So, yeah.
We're talking with Sam Story. That wrestling guy is on the Instagram with that handle. And we're also having Zane O'Mac, or as we like to call him, Dane O'Mac. Sam, I was going to ask you, have you ever heard of some of the old-time Australian wrestlers like the Fabulous Kangaroos? That's a real tag team that started in Australia. Because the reason I know them, because like I said, I'm an old man, but they wrestled a lot in the South as they came in to do a tour of the United States. And then we recently had on our podcast the superstar Bill Dundee, who moved to Memphis, Tennessee from Australia, and he's got a big accent. It sounds almost just exactly like you.
Yeah, we all
the Fabulous Kangaroos.
The Fabulous Kangaroos. Wow, I've never heard. Look, I know, like, I've talked to some people that wrestling, yeah, in Australia was big. It used to be on primetime TV, local or Australian wrestling organisations. It used to be on primetime TV. So people my dad's age, like in their 60s now, so it would have been, I don't know, 70s. They used to have it on every kind of Saturday, as you would kind of back in the local kind of independent territorial days, the territory days in the States. It was on like that Saturday, but it was prime time. So people have fond memories. And I know that guys used to come out like Andre the Giant and everything like that used to come and do the tours because it was really big because it was on like Channel 9, which is one of the biggest channels down here. And it was really heavily promoted. And that's fallen away. It's not, you know, to watch wrestling now. It's not, it's on cable TV, as you guys call it over there. But yeah, so we can't, but I do remember people talking about it, like Haystacks Calhoun. Is that a name that you're familiar with? I think, yeah, big dude. And like, I remember we've got a big immigrant, culture in Melbourne, where I'm originally from. And yeah, there were lots of those type wrestlers as well. But yeah, the independent scene now is getting bigger, but there was a lull there for quite a while of Australian wrestling where it was barely, you have to go looking for it, I suppose.
You mentioned the independent scene. And one thing Dave and I, and on Turnbuckle Trash, we've always tried to talk about is, you know, there's so many other podcasts, there's so many other people out there that follow just the WWE, and we've always tried to give the local talent time on the show. We've always tried to promote the local shows. So what are your feelings on some of these smaller promotions? And, I mean, I know that the independents are getting gaining quite a splash with the internet and with YouTube and streaming things. So what are your thoughts on the current state of independence and things like that?
Yeah, look, you've got, you could watch wrestling 24/7 if you wanted to, with the amount of content available out there. Like, yeah, if you don't want to be a WWE fan, you've got your wrestling fix covered for like many different promotions. I mean, you know, Ring of Honor's been around for quite a while, but you know, they just did Madison Square Garden, you know, so it's kind of gone to this level now. Like, with the access as well, you can watch anything all over the world. Like, we can get as many promotions as we want over here, like just through, you know, streaming and everything like that. So we're spoiled for choice. And look, the independent wrestling scene has probably never been more lucrative as well. You know, you're looking at, you know, guys like Joey Ryan, like doing his penis thing. I was going to say another word then. Doing his penis.
Doing his thing. Back, let's just leave it at thing.
Yeah, that thing. He does that thing flip, you know, and he's making good money off that. You know, maybe 10 or so years ago, he wouldn't have been making that kind of money. But now, because of the internet and everything like that, wrestlers are, you know, they don't have to go to WWE if they don't want to. They can perfectly live a great life on that scene and make some money on the way. And you can just, if you're a free kind of agent, you can go and you can have some fantastic matches, and there's no way you can see it all, but you hear these things. Like, I know that on Lucha Underground, did a 5.6 million rating or something like that, TV rating, television rating the other day with the Bucks. So it's like, it's good for business. It's fantastic. People have a choice. You don't have to, even like you talked about before, growing up in the WCW, the Monday Night Wars, I grew up with that too, but there was still only kind of two big organizations, whereas now it's take your pick, and it'll be interesting to see what AEW do when they finally get on TV and have that weekly TV content, I suppose. So yeah, look, it's God, take your pick, whatever style, whatever, you know, big guys, small guys you want, you know, take your pick. It's fantastic. In Australia, you know, we're starting to produce some more talent that are getting onto the main roster now. We've got some people in developmental and NXT as well, and some guys doing stuff on the international stage. So I mean, we've got, the last time we had someone on the main roster was Nathan Jones. I don't know if you remember who Nathan Jones was, but he came out with the didgeridoo theme, and he was the prisoner from Boggo Road or some crap like that. I can't even remember where, but he was kind of just a big Australian criminal guy. But now we've actually got the talent coming through. With, you know, Buddy Murphy is from Melbourne, you know, where I'm from. So,
oh, he is so good.
He's great. He's fantastic. So hopefully they give him a chance on SmackDown. But yeah, look, the scene's great, and it's great for wrestling fans.
So, Sam, we gotta talk for a minute about what's going on in the WWE. And I know that you've been pretty fired up with some of the stuff that's been going on currently with the War Raiders and these strange things that week by week keep changing. Dave, is there anything you'd like to add to that real quick?
Well, thank you. The glorious Zane O'Mac. Yeah, with the War Raiders, the War Machine, the Viking Experience, Andrade has changed his name. The glorious Robert Roode now. Why don't they just settle and say, okay, let's just use this? I don't understand what's going on.
Look,
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I can't swear, can I? No, I'm not going to swear. Look, it's honestly, with the whole War Raiders thing, if you're bringing them up like that, I mean, so NXT is still a small audience, but you bring it up to the main roster and you keep fudging around with their names, you keep messing up their names, audiences are going to take them seriously straight away. I mean, they look absolutely ridiculous in the Viking stuff anyway. Like, I know, you know, that's just like a real kind of a gimmicky, almost kind of throwback thing to like those kind of cheesy characters in the mid-90s, you know, those kind of, I don't know. I think, yeah, you keep changing people's names, the audience is going to be like, oh, what are they going to be called this week? What are they going to be called this week? And then that just takes away from, because they're really good. They're a really great tag team. And this hesitation for this War not to be included, like, you've got a NXT pay-per-view called War Games. I'm not sure why you won't, you know, just keep them with the War Rate. Like, it's fine. But no, they're like, okay, well, let's call them the Viking Experience, War Machine, whatever the hell we want to do. Like, it's just, yeah, it just confuses the audience. And I'm like, well, I don't give a crap about these guys. They don't even know their own name. How am I going to invest in them as characters? They don't even, you know, they keep changing their name. And I think they might even actually, you know, keep changing their name every week to cover up their initial stuff up. So just as a kind of a running joke, which is going to put them in a bad situation anyway. Like, just to say, oh, okay, these guys can't settle on a name. And they've already come in. That first time you go through the curtain out to the main roster is so important. You can lose or you can have an audience just in that moment. And if they've already given them this, then it's a long way back. But on, with the Robert Roode thing, I'm glad that they've given him that porn star mustache. it's glorious. I'm thinking about
it. Is doing glorious.
It is glorious. I'm thinking about doing one myself and changing my name to.
Well, you know who he looked like a lot? He looked like the last real man in wrestling, Silas Young, in ROH. I was going, that's the same type of wrestling gimmick that Silas is doing. I kind of liked it, but I got a full beard myself. So.
Robert Roode, ravishing Rick Roode. The similarities there, it's just that he doesn't have long hair, I suppose, with that name. And, I don't know, If he starts gyrating his hips in the ring, then we're like, ah, come on, mate. You know, you're going a bit close to our old Ravishing Rick there. Like, it's very similar to that with the mustache, I suppose. But, I mean, I'm still going to call him Bobby. He's been Bobby forever. He's been Bobby since TNA. He's been it's Bobby Roode. So it's going to take me a bit to get can't call him to Robert Roode. But and with good luck to him. Good luck to him. All I can say, look, if it goes well, then it goes well. If it doesn't, look, it gives me content to rant about.
This makes me think of something that we've talked about on the podcast a lot. Okay, so you got guys like Bobby Roode. You've got guys like Samoa Joe. AJ Styles, I would put in that category, at least at first. And so much other talent, NXT talent, all these people coming to the WWE main roster that get kind of pushed to the side.
Mm.
Tell us what you think about that.
Well, like I said, that initial kind of impact is important, and I think what they did with Ricochet and Aleister Black coming up, and also they had Ciampa and Gargano as well, it was a bit random. And I know on that the first time that they came out, it was in a dead crowd, some crappy town somewhere. I can't remember the name, but the crowd was dead anyway, and you're introducing him to that audience just randomly without a build, without any kind of packages or anything like that. I think we get caught in this NXT bubble. Everybody watches NXT, but they don't. They don't. The numbers say that they don't watch NXT. So it's really important to make that impact straight away when you're coming up, or you can get lost in the shuffle. I mean, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura won the Royal Rumble, and now he's just kind of floating around. And I'm worried about guys such as Gargano and Ciampa just because of... I know it's, you know, because of their size, I suppose, and they might get, you know, lost in that shuffle without, because you need kind of a strong character if you're a smaller dude. And Ciampa does have that, but are they going to give him that time to be that on the main roster? I know there's a lot of people up there kind of fighting for those spots. And I mean, if you can't get Braun Strowman on TV every week doing something good, then, you know, what are the hopes for the rest? But I think, yeah, the call-ups, you know, some have worked really well. So, I mean, if you see like a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's doing great stuff now, but that took a while to allow them to get their characters over. But Kevin Owens came in and beat John Cena. You know what I mean? So that impact from the very start is very, very important. So just with the call-ups, you can't just be calling them up just because it is. And the one I worry about is Velveteen Dream about that call-up, because I think they've got something special there. And if you're calling him up, he can just look like a guy. Well, what to the mate audience, like, well, he just comes out wearing kind of flashy. What's actually his character? And then he might get lost. So I'm just worried about that one the most, I would say, getting called up. But
me and Dave always say that the main roster is – the WWE is so stacked with talent.
It is stacked. It's 100% stacked. I mean, these guys, it's not just about – getting someone in that looks good and we'll train them as we go. It's these guys have been working for a very long time and all around the world, different styles. You don't really have bad matches anymore from a technical standpoint. You just, like, if you go back and watch that Attitude Era stuff, some of the guys can barely move. And it's just some of the matches are horrible and people forget that because there was really good storytelling. But if you're... Yeah, at the moment, like the you can't fault the match quality and the in-ring talent, but it still comes back to you really need, we're characters. It's characters, the storyline, it's good guys, it's bad guys. It just comes back to that. And if you can get your character still in that larger than life thing, I don't think it's changed in that space. You still have to be larger than life. You still have to be able to go get eyeballs onto that screen. And I think a real basis, a really good sign of that is to get my partner who doesn't really watch it. If she can stop and look at someone on the TV, I think that's when you've got someone. I think that's when you've got someone special to go, oh, geez, hang on. If they can get my attention and I don't even know who they are, what they're doing, just based on their look and how they are presented, then I think you need more emphasis on that than coming up from NXT and giving these 5-star matches that go for 35 minutes and rounds of applause and shaking hands and all that kind of stuff is fine. It's good for that, but the characters need to be there also.
You're listening to Turnbuckle Trash. We're talking with Sam Story, that wrestling guy on Instagram. Also, you have me, Dave Denton, and the Zane O'Mac Experience joining us today. I was interested in your conversation about how they bring in the NXT stars and how they package them. I think a perfect example of that is how they brought in The Shield. They had a real plan for The Shield, and look what happened. And I think that sometimes they just don't have a plan when they bring up someone like an EC3 or even the Viking Experience or the War Raiders or whatever they're calling them this week. There's got to be a plan.
There has to be long term thinking. And EC3 is, I don't know where EC3 is. He, I don't know if he's regretting coming back and doing that. All EC3 does is, I don't know, he's standing in the background looking at himself in the mirror. It's like he's gone now. Like, people are just going to see him as that. So you do. And the WWE have enough of these agents and creative to be able to focus attention on these people and, like, at least give them a shot, at least give them an arc of a storyline. Like, even Apollo Crews, like poor Apollo Crews, one of the great athletes in ring, like, just phenomenal. But they kind of go with him and then they stop, and then they kind of go with him doing some other stuff and then they kind of stop. It's that stop-start, like, that's not going to get him in. Like, Mojo Rawley, like, I think he's completely gone now for what he's doing. Like, you see him on screen sometimes talking to a mirror, a cracked mirror, and then it's like, well, he goes away for 2 weeks. It's like, oh, look, there's bloody Mojo Rawley again. What's he going to do? He's talking to himself again. Oh, well, are they going to build on that? No, they're just going to, you know, show him randomly. And it's like, well, have a plan for someone or don't. It's pretty simple.
Well, the one that comes to mind for me is Dolph Ziggler. I've been such a big Ziggler fan for, you know, I would rate him right up there with guys like AJ Styles and stuff. He is so good. And every time Dolph Ziggler starts working into his character, starts getting a build, starts, you know, getting towards the championship, something higher in the company, bam, he's gone, he's done. And all of a sudden, you're like, wait, where'd Ziggler go? Why? He was just in the main event like 2 months ago, and now he's – so, I don't know, that's just what comes to my mind, Dave. What do you think?
Well, I try not to think too much, Mac O'Zane. But the plan, I think, when you talk about how they bring up some of this talent, I think it really lacks, and I'm going to put the blame on one person, myself. I'm going to put it on Vinnie Mac because he has that creative control. He can change things at the last minute. He's got a brilliant mind, but I don't think he goes with the plan and lets it work long enough. There's even been talk about possibly changing the Bray Wyatt gimmick they just introduced last week, and I like the Bray Wyatt gimmick that they're working on, and I think, Sam, you do too. I saw that Instagram post with the puppet. I thought it was hilarious, by the way. What do you think about is it going to be Vinnie Mac or somebody else in creative?
Well, I'm hearing it does. The buck stops at Vinnie Mac. It really does. As much as people say, well, you know, Triple H has got this and this, well, it has to go through him. And people are like, oh, he's out of touch, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, his track record, I think he knows how to build a star or two. I think the Bray Wyatt thing, I think someone's saying that the stockholders or the shareholders weren't happy with it. But
yeah.
I don't know how far to look into that, really. I know Bray tweeted, I don't know, yesterday or today or something about, he said, I love shareholders and I love you all. And then he had all these hashtags as well. So, unless that's just come out of nowhere and he's running with that. Look, that the Bray Wyatt thing is something that we need. We need that for a point of difference. Like, you see how many people are talking about it. You see the buzz on YouTube and Facebook and everything like that about what the hell was this, but I love it. And then, I mean, some people are always going to be like, I'll do my like kind of Mark voice. Like, he was the eater of worlds and all this kind of, it's just like, well, that's, you know, it's like he, what happened to the Wyatt family? They'll just book him into the ground again. It's like, oh God, just guys, can you just appreciate something that's a bit unique and not just this cookie cutter promos that come out, you know, just, I thought it was one of the more creative things I've seen in a very long time. And if you go and watch, you're like, well, now we want to know what's this next vignette going to be next week. What's he going to do now? He's already bought out a chainsaw into a playhouse, and he's got some creepy old lady, I was going to say another word there, in the window, creepy old puppets. And, you know, what's next for this? And if they pull that away, I'll be really, really disappointed.
Yeah, I will be too. I would love them to get Pee Wee Herman to come in and make a guest spot on his show.
Yeah, do that. Pee Wee, and then Bray chases him out with a chainsaw or something like that. That might be funny. It's like, you know, really, really get dark on it. No, maybe not too dark. I was going to say maybe he can start cutting up Pee Wee, but that's not going to fly.
And, no, it's not.
That's not going to fly at all. No, so no. Maybe in a different era that would have worked, but yeah. But, yeah, it does remind me of the Pee-wee, and even, like, Blue's Clues and stuff like that. It was kind of – I thought it was really good.
We'll have more with Sam, that wrestling guy in Australia, in just a little bit. But right now, it's time for your chance to win some valuable prizes, because the name change game is next. And after that, Chris on the mat.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
Welcome to the show that the entire wrestling universe is talking about. This is the WWE Turnbuckle Trash Name Change Game. And now, here's your host from parts unknown. He is the man that needs no introduction, but he wants one anyway. The man that is too hot to handle, too cold to hold, and too fat to be where it's at. Here he is, Chuck Winkmaster. What's up, Chuck?
And thank you, Don Pardo, for that underwhelming introduction. On the Name Change Game, our home players will be hearing wrestlers' original ring names. Then we will give them four incredible clues. And after those clues, you'll have 5 seconds to come up with your answer. And our winners tonight will win fabulous prizes from one of our sponsors. So, are you ready to play the WWE Turnbuckle Trash Name Change Game? Here we are. Name number one. Originally known as Flex Calavia, here are your four name change options. He's now known as Zane Peterson, The Rock, Bo Dallas, or Road Warrior Hawk. And now, your 5 seconds to write down your answer on the Name Change Game. If you said Zane Peterson, you really need your head examined. But if you said The Rock, yes, you are correct. Yes, WWE great, now movie star Dwayne The Rock Johnson was originally known as Flex Calavia. And are you ready for more of the Name Change Game? Number two. He was originally known as Wyndham Rotunda, but now with the Name Change Game, we know him by... Is it Sir William Regal? Husky Harris, Dave Denton, or Bray Wyatt? Here's your 5 seconds. If you said Sir William Regal, you are incorrect. Well, how about Husky Harris? No, that's not correct either. If you said Dave Denton, well, he is a big eater, but he's not the Eater of Worlds. That title belongs to our winner. Yes, the real answer is Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, the head of the Wyatt family, and now the star of his very own kids show. So how are you doing so far on the Name Change Game? Here we go with our next name. This is a tag team. They were once known as the War Machine. But what is the name they go by now? Here are your clues. The Viking Raiders? The Boss and Hug Connection? Beer Money? Or is it the Fabulous Kangaroos? Here is your 5 seconds. If you said the Viking Raiders, yes, you are correct. Yes, the War Machine in ROH has had their name changed several times. They went on to become War Raiders in NXT, and then recently on Monday Night Raw, the Viking Experience. That lasted one entire week. Then the WWE changed their name to the Viking Raiders. Who knows what it will be next week? You'll have to turn in to Monday Night Raw to find out for yourself. Oh my God. Now on to name number four. Originally known as Bobby Roode. But now on the name change game, who is he? Your four clues include Mustache Mountain, Ajay Salvison, the Beer City Bruiser, or Robert Roode. You now have 5 seconds. If you thought Bobby Roode became Mustache Mountain, you are incorrect. How about Ajay Salvison? No, it's not the Chocolate Mamba. The Beer City Bruiser? No, he's in ROH. So, ipso facto, Bobby Roode is now known as the Glorious Robert Roode. But he does have that sweet, sweet mustache. Isn't that right, that wrestling guy?
But with the Robert Roode thing, I'm glad that they've given him that porn star mustache.
And now, our final name for all the marbles and fabulous prizes. The final name for the name change game. Are you ready? His original ring name was Texas Red. Here are your four name game choices. Do we know him as James Christopher Evans? James E. Cornette? Do we know him as The Undertaker? Or is he now Stone Cold Steve Austin? Here is your 5 seconds. If you answered James Christopher Evans, then you must have ate paint chips as a child. Was it James E. Cornette? Say, did Vince Russo put you up to that? Or did you pick The Undertaker? Yes, it is The Undertaker. So, how did you do? Let's recap. Name number one, Flex Caiavia, became known as The Rock. Name number two, which was a salute to his grandfather, Black Jack Windham, and his father, Mike Rotunda, is now the lovable man we know as Bray Wyatt. Yes, the Fireflies are happy tonight. The tag team, War Machine, now known as the Viking Raiders. But a disclaimer, it could change any time in the world of the name change game. Bobby Roode went on to become the Glorious Robert Roode. Hey, I kind of wish he was still a member of Beer Money myself. Right, that wrestling guy?
What's the time? It's 10:30. I've already had like five Fosters, so I'm pretty much out of today.
And our final answer, of course, was Texas Red, becoming known as the Phenom, the Undertaker. So, how did you do? Did you win? If you got all five correct, here's how you can pick up your valuable prizes from our sponsors.
Yes, thank you so much, Chuck. Since we have no sponsors, if you want a prize, reach into your own wallet and go buy yourself something nice. And come back next podcast for another WWE Turnbuckle Trash Name Change Game.
Chris on the match.
Match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Well, it's time for another edition of Chris on the Mat. Hi, Christopher Evans.
Hey, what's going on? It's a wonderful day here in Winston-Salem, but the clouds are cloudy, and the slot machines are running, but we're having a great time. How's the Turnbuckle Trash?
Oh, we're doing great. If people don't know, Chris is the head of security at a small casino, that is in what town again?
It's in Winston-Salem. I wish I could be in Paris, Tennessee right now for the world's biggest fish fry.
Oh, yeah. I got a call from your aunt this morning, my sister, rubbing it in that they were getting ready for the fish fry parade, and I was working my, know what off. So, yeah, the world's biggest fish fry is a great event. It's a real thing. It's in Paris, Tennessee. Well, Christopher Evans.
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, we've had ourselves a little controversial thing with Bray Wyatt, the new Mr. Rogers neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood. I thought it was hilarious.
I thought it was good because it was something different. And it wasn't like his old character. It was something new, but it was something dark. As soon as you could see those eyes and the way he was talking, you knew it was good for him, but then reality kicks in.
Yeah.
And somebody didn't like it. They thought it was too dark and too scary. Really? Why? Why?
It's a story. That's what ticked me off about it. And then the WWE was thinking about yanking the segment before it had a chance to really catch legs. And that would be the biggest mistake of their lives.
Yeah, but if they did that, what are they going to do with Bray Wyatt? What would they do? Okay. I mean, they just reconstructed him. Now, because if someone gets the snowflake is hurting, now you want to pull it? Why? He hasn't even had a match yet with this character. And now you want to pull... Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good the way he was talking and he had the puppets. And I'm sorry, that one that looks like from Saw, that girl. I'm sorry, that thing kind of creeped me out, especially the buzzard.
Oh, that was...
I was expecting Pee-wee's Playhouse and have Cherry or something on the side. But, I mean, yeah, it was good. It was a different look, and it was a good segment. I thought it was well done, but some of us on Turnbuckle Trash didn't like it, which is understandable.
That was our friend Kelly. He didn't like it, but that's cool.
That was fine. I respect what Kelly said because, yeah, some of it was, but I liked it. I thought, great, they're bringing him back, and this is going to be a different version of him. I just don't get why people got upset about it. I just don't understand.
Well, the big thing is they kind of made it into like a children's show. But
yes,
that was the whole thing. It was supposed to be kind of freaky. I mean, there's movies out there that use dolls, Chucky dolls,
mm-hmm.
and little... These people, they need to understand this is just another way of telling a story. And the good guy's going to win in the long run because they always do. I want it to run its course. I want to see what creative can do with it because the way they're setting it up, they could do so many things by bringing in different characters. Can we say Nikki Cross
mm-hmm.
as part of the show? Can we say maybe Lars Sullivan joining with Bray Wyatt? I mean, that's some of the rumors that are going on. And
oh, yeah.
I like it.
It would be a new Wyatt family because Luke Harper wants out of his contract and they're not letting him do that.
Uh-huh.
I think that Nikki Cross would be really good for it. I mean, she's crazy as all get out.
Uh-huh.
But no. You all got upset. Everybody got upset because they could hear children in the background cheering and laughing and then booing. Okay. Well, that's fine. He's a different version of Mr. Rogers. He's a different version of Sesame Street. Okay, I mean, at least Elmo's not going to come out and say, "How you doing, kids?" He's going to stab Elmo. That's what he'll stab Elmo. He'll cut himself in half with a chainsaw.
When we were talking to Sam, that wrestling guy, we were talking about this, and we were talking about when he took the chainsaw out and cut that standee of himself, of Bray Wyatt.
Uh-huh.
Said, wouldn't it be great if they could get Pee Wee Herman to come in and make a cameo appearance or something, and Bray takes that chainsaw to him? Just a thought.
Oh, yeah, I could just see that now. Hi, bro. Yeah.
Hi, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the word? What's the secret word of the day? It's called Husqvarna. Yeah. Husqvarna. Yeah. What was the name of that wizard in the box? Oh, shoot. The head. Heiny, Heiny Ho, or whatever the heck his name was.
Good old Heiny, Heiny Ho.
Yeah, well, his Heiny Ho is going to go ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
And pull him out. But, yep. Yeah, but it was good. I mean, I liked it. Finally, they gave him a new character. But when I read the article that you had put, I just rolled my eyes and shook my head and said, okay, I give up.
Now, after I put that on Facebook, on our Facebook page, it did come out that the WWE had decided not to change the character. I think they're going to tweak it a little bit, maybe take away the kids cheering in the background, maybe having, you know, more adult, you know, moo and... But I want them to keep that character. And if they don't, I'm going to be very disappointed, because Bray Wyatt could be the freakiest, scariest character on there. And if you put the right other people around him, like they did with the Wyatt family, this could be good. And have him still come out in the cardigan sweater and everything and play that up with his, like Eddie Murphy did on Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood on Saturday Night Live. Here's Eddie Murphy. He's doing his spill on, you know, parody. And he gets that knock on the door. He says, "Here's how we open the door in our neighborhood." "Yeah, what you want?"
"Yeah, who is it?
Who is it? What you want?" "I got a gun here." Yep. What's the difference? There's no difference. Come on.
No difference. Yeah. No difference whatsoever.
Just a story.
Well, it's called "The PG Era Has Destroyed Professional Wrestling." The thing of it is that the PG Era has destroyed wrestling, but some organizations like TNA, Impact, they push the boundaries more than WWE ever does.
What's going to happen with All Elite? That's, I think you and I were just discussing All Elite a few minutes ago. What was it you were talking about? Sausage? I mean, Sasha Banks? Sausage?
We need a little bacon to go with the sausage.
That's right. And she's got some good shake in her bacon. I'll tell you that.
You got that shit. But she is thinking about sitting out of her contract with the WWE. She's not very happy. She's not getting a push. That she was upset and wanted to quit right at WrestleMania.
That's what
she
understand.
When they said that she was going to drop the titles to whatever the heck their name
is.
The Iconics, yes. But, okay, let me think here. You've been a WWE Women's Champion, the first ever tag team champion, and you're a semi-good professional wrestler. Okay, you never main evented at WrestleMania. Is that why you're sucking your thumb and sitting in a corner? Okay.
Maybe so.
Maybe it is. It is.
Yeah.
She's just upset because the man is getting a bigger push, and Charlotte Flair is getting a bigger push, which I'm getting tired of that myself.
Oh, me too. So,
you know what? If that's what she wants to do, maybe she can become All Elite. All Elite right now is really pushing the envelope WWE.
Yeah.
They've got their TV deal. Have
they officially announced that yet?
Yes, I believe that they announced it last Thursday that they are signing with
TNT.
They're signing with TNT, and they're getting a Tuesday night to compete with SmackDown.
That's only going to be for a while, because SmackDown's moving to Fox Sports 1, and they're going to be moving to Friday night in the fall.
Give me your honest opinion. Couldn't they compete with SmackDown? Could they?
I think SmackDown's a stronger product than Raw, to be honest with you. But I think they can. They just got to find another audience.
Unless All Elite really pushes the envelope and does something outrageous, I see them, you know, beating WWE for a little bit. But they've got 24 wrestlers as it is, and they had one that I really didn't expect is Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
And I know we're getting off the subject, but why do – I know the gold dust is dead, but you're still painting half your face to look like gold dust.
Well, that's just marketing, man. I like it. I think that's the way to market it.
I liked it, but the one he did, his little promo where he's holding his own head and he puts it in a coffin and he pushes it back and says, this character is no more, but yet you're still painting half your face. Okay, that's great, but is Vince going to sue you because you're using part of his gimmick, the gimmick they came up with? Because you know Vince, he sued for Diesel and Razor Ramon when they went over to WCW. Who knows? But I think it's going to be good. All Elite, Double or Nothing, and then the pay-per-views. I think that All Elite is going to be give them a run for their money. And Cody can say, okay, I finally stuck it to you. It's over. But yeah. I hope so.
Well,
I hope they do well. Go ahead.
I can't find anything that's official about the deal. I knew that they were thinking about announcing it in May. So let's kind of backtrack on that till we get official word. I think it's going to happen. But I'm looking on Sportskeeda right now, and they're talking about what's going on. And the money man behind All Elite, Tony Khan, says they have a 5-year plan for All Elite. And they're saying that the All Elite wrestlers won't necessarily be on the road 5 to 6 days a week and will work them a lighter schedule, which will help with a healthy balance between work and being able to do TV. So I think that's going to be a good deal for the wrestlers who sign with All Elite, and I just hope they can get a really good TV deal. And I think TNT would be a really good deal for them.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea because, I mean, WWE wrestlers are on the roads. They hardly get to go home. And, I mean, All Elite, all they're trying to do is take business away. They want to show a different side of professional wrestling. But let's see what happens when they get their TV deal going and their first TV show. And let's see what the storylines are going to be. Maybe you never know. Vince Russo could pop up and go, look who's writing for us now. Yay!
You always got to bring up that name. I'm almost getting like James E. Cornette. I mean, every time I hear that name, I want to just lose my lunch. And
I was listening to a podcast with him on it and him telling how he's the one that created the Montreal screw job. He's the one that did all this. And it was so funny to listen to.
That you bring that up. Have you seen that Viceland show about the dark side of wrestling?
Viceland? No.
Okay, no. I watched the one that was about the Montreal Screwjob just the other day. And there's some thought processes that say that Brett was in on it. Razor Ramon, I mean, Scott Hall was one of those that thinks that Brett was part of it. I don't believe that. But towards the end, they had Jim Cornette, and they also had Vince Russo on the show. And, of course, you know, they were talking about their butting heads. And Cornette's, they were kind of running the credits at the end. He said, I have told my wife that I am going to live until Vince Russo dies so she can wheel me in my wheelchair and stand me up so I can pee on his grave.
Yes. The man is so obsessed with Vince Russo. I mean, go on YouTube, Turnbuckle Trash Heads, and look up Jim Cornette and versus Vince Russo. I can promise you it's some of the best work this man has ever done. But please, if you don't like cussing, if you don't like F-bombs, if you don't like any other word, do not watch this man, because every word that comes out of his mouth is, wow, I'm surprised they don't have a button.
I call him a creative cusser. I had an old business partner that would spout off like that, and words mm-hmm. would come out that I didn't even know the meaning of, especially when he combined them the way he did. And that's what James E. Cornette does. But he is funny when he does that.
But he's the best mind in the business.
I think so, too. I love the fact that he's working with Major League Wrestling. I think he's just doing announcing, but mm-hmm. I would hope that he's kind of throwing a little knowledge their way, because I think he's a brilliant mind.
At least all Elite, we're going to get back to that. At least all Elite did something right.
Okay.
They hired one man that was perfect for their company.
Uh-huh.
Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Jim Ross.
That will mean a lot to the wrestling community. They'll want to get a good old JR. There been any talk about Jerry joining them at commentary?
You know what? Jerry's still got another couple of months left on his contract with the WWE. Yeah, it would be really nice to see Jerry in another organization, but I wouldn't mind seeing both of them back on commentary. And it would be nice, but I'm sure Vince will convince Jerry to sign again.
Yeah. It all has to do with money. Hey, by the way, we were talking about attendance at WWE events, and I have some figures here from the WWE themselves. They released this that their revenue for the first quarter of 2019 was down from the previous year. And that is a loss of $8.4 million. That's still not bad. They still make a bunch of bucks. The average attendance for the first quarter was down 11%. The average attendance now is 4,800 for live events. Those are house shows. And I thought it would be more than that, to be honest with you, because Salt Lake City, they'll get 4,000 to 5,000 people showing up. And I thought, wow, this isn't good, but they'll get 4,000, 5,000 people. So down a little bit. Then merchandise in the quarter number one, merchandise sales also down 11%. And then the merchandise on the WWE shop, down 21% in the first quarter of the year. So there's just not a big problem, but a pretty good sized problem.
And what does Vince do? He blames the wrestlers and not the people and not the fans.
He blames
the wrestlers.
He blames the talent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the Facebook site that I'm on. I can't remember. There's one of them that's out there, and they put the quote up there from Vince that he's blaming the talent, saying they're getting a new creative team and a new team to redo the live events to make them more exciting. And he's blaming the talent. I'm going, Vince, the talent is there. I even put in there, Vince, you're the one that had your Universal Champion that hardly ever showed up for anything. You're the one that doesn't know how to book Braun Strowman, putting him with a 10-year-old kid and those two goofs from Saturday Night Live. And I said, Vince, you're the one that can't write a storyline for people being called up from NXT that people are excited to see, and you just bury them. And I said, Vince, you're the one that doesn't know how to write for tag teams. Vince, of course, Vince doesn't particularly like tag team wrestling, but I do. I love tag team wrestling. So Vince has got to step up and say, I'm going to take at least partial blame here, or he's losing a little respect in my eyes.
Think about it this way. He was the number one wrestling organization, still is the number one wrestling organization in the world. When you think about wrestling, you think WWE. But in the past 10 years, their attendance is going down. The wrestlers are going down, injured all the time. They're doing all these part-timers, and they're putting the belts on people that make no sense whatsoever. I don't know. Vince has lost his way, and if he doesn't hurry up and do what he's supposed to do, there could be a way where it says bye-bye WWE and hello All Elite.
Yeah, that could happen. You talked about injuries. Jeff Hardy, one of he injured again. He's got a knee injury. Daniel Bryan might be through. He hasn't been on TV. He's hardly been mentioned on SmackDown. He was supposed to be on Tuesday night against Randy Orton. He wasn't even in attendance. There's thought that he got a concussion during WrestleMania in that spot where Kofi Kingston was booting his head, you know, on the ground. And then there's also word that an NXT referee last night took a bump. His name is Tom Caster. He took
a bump. More than a bump.
Yeah, he got smashed between Velveteen Dream and Tyler Breeze, and actually broke his neck. Broke his leg in the match, and still counted the 1, 2, 3. So, a lot of injuries.
Yeah, they have a. They've got a picture of the referee's ankle, and that the ankle had snapped in two. And he still did the 1, 2, 3. I bet you Vince or Triple H is probably in the earphone going, don't worry about that. You got health insurance. Count the fall. We missed one person that's injured. Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, yes. She's had knee surgery this week.
Yep, double knee surgery.
Yeah.
So that's another one that's out.